your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi, Johnny.
How are you?
I'm good.
Now, an interesting Spaced Out this afternoon. There's been news of some sort of new, what is it, gravitational waves detected out there in
what?
The cosmos?
Well, yeah. It's funny, actually, because only a couple of weeks ago, a Nobel Prize was awarded to a couple of guys for discovering gravitational waves. One of them was Kip Thorne. He was the science advisor to Interstellar, the movie. Gravitational waves was a great discovery. Basically, what that means is when large stars end their lives, they run out of fuel and they collapse. And the biggest ones collapse down and become a black hole. The black hole is extremely dense, and its gravity is so strong that light can't get away from it. If you have two black holes going around each other, orbiting each other, and they merge, the cataclysm is so great that it actually shakes the whole fabric of space-time.
Holy crap.
So it's a bit like thinking of, say, in a it's a bouncy castle, say. Let's say you have a grid pattern on a bouncy castle and someone bounces on the other end of it, and you're going to get ripples, so you're going to have distortions in that grid pattern you've done. And when it gets to the Earth, that's what was discovered. So as the waves went past two different detectors in the United States, there was a time delay, and with the same shape of the detection, so they could work back and figure out that it was a couple of black holes, about 30 times the mass of the sun. This last one, just in fact, in August the 17th is when the discovery this time was made, but they need to go through and figure everything out and so on. It's the merger of two neutron stars. So stars that are not quite big enough to collapse down to a black hole produce an object that's about the size of Auckland.
Yeah.
But with more mass than the sun has.
What?
Okay, so it's extremely dense. A teaspoon of a neutron star would weigh the same as every human being on Earth. So you're talking a billion tons.
You're making me feel some weird things, David.
Yeah, so that's a teaspoon of a neutron star weighs that much. And so what happened on the 17th of August is two of these stars merged and they produced gravitational waves. But the crucial difference is when two black holes merge, because their gravity is so great, they're dark, light can't escape. That means there's no visible light to see when two black holes merge.
Mm.
But with two neutron stars, they don't have enough gravity to cause that. And so there's light that can be seen from that merger. And so this is the first time. It's like seeing something in the distance, but hearing it as well. A gravitational wave is a bit like hearing the universe, and seeing a light is seeing the universe. So being able to both see and hear changes what can be discovered and what can be determined. So this event was much less energetic than the two black hole merger, but even so, when it happened, it was a billion times the energy of the brightness of our whole galaxy.
Is it quite stable now? Could you fly a spaceship out there, land on it, and walk around on the stuff, or would something crazy happen?
It's become a new
Did you hear that laugh,
neutron
John?
Star.
That laugh meant you silly dum-dum.
Any neutron star, they're highly magnetic. They put out a lot of radiation.
Sort of mess your hair up, would it? Yeah, no good.
Sorry, I can't hear.
Sounds like it would really sort of mess your outfit up a bit.
It would mess everything up.
Okay.
Everything, absolutely everything.
So you can't get close to it at all?
No, not at all. So what they also were able to determine from this that when they collided, the collision sent out a whole bunch of debris. And that debris is about 10,000 times the mass of the Earth.
Crikey.
And most of it is stuff that's heavier than iron. So the stuff we're made from comes from two sources. Firstly, hydrogen, helium is from the Big Bang, the beginning of the universe, and everything up about as heavy as iron is made in large stars. And when they go supernova, that material is spread around the neighborhood. Mm. Anything heavier than that, they weren't quite sure, but they actually discovered this material in the debris from this collision, this merger.
Just having a little fossic theory with it.
So what they know now is the stuff like platinum and gold, anything heavier, most of the elements heavier than element, they're created in these neutron star mergers.
Does this stuff fly around the galaxy like an asteroid would or a meteor would?
Yeah, but you're talking about huge amounts of it. Is it the debris that is sent off is 10,000 Earth masses?
Yes.
From this one collision.
Who's fizzing the most about this, David? Who in the space community are going, yeah, this is great news. That means I can finally finish my little project that I'm doing.
Well, eventually, when it all starts sinking in, I think everyone will, because it's a new tool on discovering, literally, where we came from.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's chasing.
Well, that's right. It's not going to give the answer to life, no, but... there's certainly fills in a number of gaps. Things that this is the beginning. This is the first one. So now they've discovered this and they're able to figure this one out. They know what to look for the next one, and so there will be more. The same with the gravitational waves with black holes. There was one, which these guys got the Nobel Prize for, but there's been four since then now.
Take someone to pave the way, always.
Now, David, you've sent us another story. Dwarf planet has rings.
Dwarf planet has rings, yeah. Well, there are dwarf planets out past Pluto called Haumea, Makemake, and Eris. Haumea is the next one out. It actually has an orbit that's all elliptical, and it comes inside Pluto's orbit as well. It's a weird one because the shape of the dwarf planet was a bit odd. What had happened, though, is it went in front of a star. This doesn't happen very often, but it went in just the right place that it could be looked at with good telescopes. And what they were able to discover is that the dwarf planet itself is about twice as wide as it is long. So it's more like a football than a soccer ball, which is a bit weird because you'd expect it should be round.
Mm-hmm.
But they also discovered that it has rings around it, a ring of material. So they think that that's most probably from some collision a few million years ago. So 70 kilometres wide, and it's about 1,000 kilometres from the surface. So the first time they found a ring around something so far away.
Do they know what it would be? Can they, being able to look at it with the star in the background, can they discern what it's made of?
They can determine its density and then make some deductions on the composition. But to be more precise with composition, you need to have a spectrum of the object, and it's so far away and faint that that's pretty difficult.
Indeed. Now, there's also one more International Space Station walk coming up.
Yeah, last time I talked about three of them. On the 5th and the 10th, well, love happened. So the third one is tomorrow night, the 18th, at 10:30 p.m. It starts the broadcast. It's on live NASA TV. So the broadcast starts at 10:30, but the spacewalk itself starts at about midnight. I'm sure they'll have replays on NASA TV, so people can actually watch these two guys. 10:30 is when the broadcast starts, but that's showing them getting ready to go out. There's a whole bunch of steps they have to go through. You don't just open the door and walk out into space.
Any spectacular images or photographs from the previous spacewalks of astronauds dangling off the space station over Earth?
Absolutely, yeah. They put it up on Instagram and Facebook and all the other...
I'm more impressed with NASA TV, to be honest. I'm thinking about the ads that you might see on NASA TV. Like, get your thing, it's made out of the same thing as the spaceships are made out of.
Yeah, no, they don't have those sorts of ads.
You might be able to help me with something else as well, David. Just is it true that pictures of space are black and white and then they just colour them in?
It depends what you're taking a picture of. If you're taking a picture of something very faint, like the sort of thing the Hubble Space Telescope does, it's they use filters.
I knew it.
It's not actually black and white, but it's a small part of the spectrum. So they take it, for instance, red, green, blue. It's not that, but it's a bit like that.
Okay.
And then you combine those to make the new image.
Right, okay. Well,
yeah,
that's
so you get better resolution doing it that way.
What's going on in Stardome, lastly?
Well, this week we've got an astrophotography exhibition that's there till the 22nd. These are the winning submissions to the Auckland Astronomical Society photography competition, the Harry Williams Trophy. Mm. Absolutely brilliant photos, and it's free. Just a gold coin to look around the foyer, just pop down then and have a look at those. But it's only till the 22nd.
Cool.
That's all local. All local.
New Zealand. Yeah, just New Zealand entries. That's right. There were 300. Over 300 entrants for the competition.
Did you... that sounds like a full-on little scenario.
Absolutely. So the other entries are on a loop with a video projector, so you can stand there and watch all those go past.
Nice.
But the winning and highly commended entries are all being printed out and put up in frames on the display.
And what's this spooktacular I'm seeing?
Spooktacular?
What does that mean?
Well, that's on the 31st of October.
Sounds like a...
Do space... I guess Martians are kind of slightly Halloween.
Well, you can be Martians, you can be whatever you like.
Everything's scary when you think about space, I think, you know, to be fair.
There's two lots of shows. There's a family-friendly shows at 6 and 7 p.m., so they're really more for the kids. The kids get a goodie bag to take away, and there's a science in the van show with science experiments, so come about half an hour early to see all that before your show. Mm-hmm. But then at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening, there are adult spooky shows. So that's a wee bit different.
That's where you get like the shrink ray out and stuff and start having a little muck around.
Well, the adult one, there are drinks and so on, so the kids can't
Rick
be
Moranis.
For that.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet, mate. Hey, once again, thanks for catching up with us. David, we'll catch you in 2 weeks' time, and all the best with the goings-on at the Stardome, as per.
Thank you. Look forward to speaking to you again.
All right. See you later, David.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.